What you're hearing was by request. I had preached the message Music Paints Pictures here some time ago. And this is the message. I'll just give you a little bit of background how it came to pass. But a number of years ago, I was a youth pastor. This would have been back in the early 70s. And there was a message that I preached called Music Paints Pictures. That's the one you're hearing today. I had preached it to my young people, and the pastor wanted me to bring it to the church. I brought it to the church. And just a few weeks after that, there was a pastor's fellowship in Memphis that he wanted me to bring it at the pastor's fellowship. And as a result of that, there were a number of pastors that wanted me to come and bring the message to their young people and to their church, Music Paints Pictures. It's something interesting because I had never intended on traveling. I had never intended on living in a travel trailer, certainly. But as a result of the number of people that had contacted us, we wrote down names and so forth. And if we ever made that decision, we would contact them. And when I first went on the road and started traveling for the first 12 to 15 years, I spoke exclusively on the subject of music and entertainment. What's interesting is I'm not a musician, but I'm approaching it from an entirely different point of view. I was speaking with our brother earlier this morning, and I had met with people who were traveling, speaking on the subject of music, who were musicians. But what I found that what they were talking about went over my head because I was not a musician. But I started looking at the scriptures, and as I looked at the scriptures, I wanted to identify certain things with my young people. And in those early days, I learned a lot, and some things kind of moved around and changed a little bit. But I learned that if I was going in to speak on any one style of music, speaking to young people, a wall would be built immediately because you're speaking about something that they hold very dear. And that wall would go up so they would not listen or it'd be very difficult for them to listen. That's the reason I wanted you to hear from my perspective a philosophy of how I approach what I call difficult subjects. It's done in a fun way, but when I get through it, I'll also at the tail end mention a couple of other things so that you understand why I use the approach. It's a fun approach, but yet it causes people, particularly young people, to listen to what you have to say. So it has been a message that I've done over 1,700 times. It's been a message that young people have enjoyed, even though I'm attacking a very touchy subject. And so I want you to kind of feel, as I'm doing it, feel the philosophy behind it as well. I begin with a passage in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. And I will begin saying, this message is not about music. I'm using philosophy again because the message is totally about music. But this message is not about music. And really, it is not about music. It is about the mind. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, the Bible says, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." Say it with me. "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." Say it again. "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." Say it again. "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." Let's shorten the phrase for our purpose this afternoon and simply say, "As a man thinketh, so is he." Together. "As a man thinketh, so is he." Again. "As a man thinketh, so is he." I'll split it with you. I'll say, "As a man thinketh," and you say, "So is he." "As a man thinketh, as a man thinketh, as a man thinketh, as a man thinketh." Every time I say "as a man thinketh," you got to be watching for the phrase "as a man thinketh." Sometimes I'll talk real fast. When I talk real fast, "as a man thinketh." And you'll have to talk fast or you'll slow me down. Sometimes I'll talk real slow in my Mississippi Southern dialect and I'll say "as a man thinketh." Oh, you're doing very well. I forgot I have to use this. And so be watching for the phrase "as a man thinketh." If you're with me, you'll catch every time it says "as a man thinketh." If you're not with me, you'll... Oh, you're very good. Brother Dave, I need you to come help me. Now, Brother Dave, Brother Duffett, they've probably heard this message 25 times over the years. And there's others that have. Our brother, what's first name again? Chris probably heard this 35 years ago in Maine, so it's a message I know quite well. But Brother Dave, you'll be my guinea pig. Just hold your hands just like that. Brother Dave is holding his brain in his hand. Let them see what's inside. Nothing. anybody here know that? There's nothing in his brain? His dad does. I'm going to help him by feeding information to his brain. And that's important. Why? Because as a man thinketh, and we can only think about the things that are in our brain. So I begin with music. Whenever we listen to music, the music we listen to goes in the ear. And when it goes in the ear, it goes to the brain. So when we listen to music, we're feeding information to the brain. That's important because as a man thinketh, and the information we're feeding could be good or it could be bad, but that's not the point right now. As a man thinketh, it's amazing how much information has been placed in our brain through the medium of music. We'll prove it to you. We're going to sing some songs right now, Dave and I. Actually, everyone will sing. And what I'm going to have you do, I'll have you reach into your brain and pull out the information because the information is already there. Let's sing together our ABCs. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K. Oh, that's far enough. Aren't you impressed? He remembered his ABCs. But so did you. I didn't see anybody turn to anybody else and say, oh, man, how does that go? What's the first letter? You just reached into your brain and you pulled it out. How long has it been since you've sung that song?
A long time.
A long time. How many have said, I've sung that this week? Anybody here sung that? Oh, you did. Ah, some people have to rehearse these things so they don't forget their ABCs. It doesn't matter whether it's been this week or whether it's been years. You just reached in your brain and pulled it out. Mary had a little lamb. Mary had a little lamb, little lamb, little lamb, Mary. Oh, that's far enough. How long has it been since you sung that?
Long time.
A long time. How many would say it's been a very long time? Isn't it amazing that we can still reach in our brain and pull it out, though? Amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet. Blessed assurance. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. What are we doing? We're just reaching into our brain and we're pulling out information we've stored there through the medium of music. Let me ask you a question. How many songs do you have in your brain? Yeah, it's according to how old you are. And some have a whole lot of them. But you see, all of our life, as we've listened to music, we're feeding information to the brain. Good or bad. We also read. Whenever we read, we open the book. And when we open the book, we see the words or the pictures. And the words and our pictures we see, they go in the eye. And when it goes in the eye, it then goes to the brain. His brain hasn't been that heavy in a long time. We do remember the things we read. Kids say, I go to take a test. I don't remember anything. How many have had this happen? You're taking a test, you read the question, you think, I know that answer. I know that answer. I can even remember where it is in the book. It's on the left-hand side of the page, right-hand column near the bottom. I know it. Anybody ever had a brain fog like that and you just knew where it was, but you couldn't put your finger on it?
Oh, yeah.
You take the paper to the teacher and you say, what is the answer to number 5? And just as soon as she forms her lips, just as soon as the first word comes out, oh, yes, I remember. All of a sudden, recall kicked in. Can you recall something that's not there? I thought of that all by myself. If it's not in your brain, you could never have recalled it. Sometimes we can pull information out at will. Sometimes some stimulus is needed to bring it out. But it is there, whether it entered through music or whether it entered through the printed page, it is in the brain. We also watch television. Whenever we watch television, we see what's on the screen, we hear what's being said, goes in the eye, goes in the ear, and it goes to the brain. We are programmed by television. May I prove it to you? Are you ready? How do you spell relief? Together, R. That is not how you spell relief. Isn't it an amazing thing? I just make a statement like that and all of a sudden, poof, that pops into your mind. We watch television and we can't even spell anymore. How many have ever seen a rerun on television, the same program more than once? Would you hold your hand in the air? Aha. How did you know it was a rerun? You remembered it, yes. You saw it, and as a result of seeing it, it is stored in your brain so that as you're re-watching it, you're thinking, oh, I already know what's going to happen. Why is this all important? Because as a man thinketh, and the only way we think about things is as we have fed them into our mind and stored them in our brain, we now have the ability to think about what's there. Brother Dave, illustrate this verse for us right now. Just dump your brains on the floor. Not very careful with his brain, is he? Let me ask you something. What came out? Not much. What came out? Exactly what went in. Hold your hand again. That's Proverbs 23:7. As a man thinketh, if I put good things in, I get good things out, because as a man thinketh. If I put bad things in, I get bad things out, because as a man thinketh. If I put godly things in, I get godly things out, because as a man thinketh. If I put ungodly things in, I get ungodly things out, because as a man thinketh. We are becoming what our mind is storing. Thank you, Brother Dave. You can have a seat. Leave your brain. Leave your brain. Isn't that amazing? He could make it back to his seat without his brain. Three things take place in one's mind as one listens to music. It's the reason I say this message is not about music. It really is about the mind and what is taking place in the mind. But I'm using music as a tool of illustration to show how the mind works. The first point, the title of the message, music paints pictures. Say it with me. Music paints pictures. What I mean by that is this. When a song is playing, there's an image, there's a picture, there's a thought, there's an idea, there's a mood, there's a feeling that is established while the music is playing. What I'm going to do right now is I'm going to paint an image, a picture, a thought, an idea verbally, and then I'm going to play music that would match it to show you the ability music has to paint pictures. The first picture is a midnight stroll through a graveyard. It's a very eerie night. The only sound you hear is the sound of your heart as it's pounding away. The wind begins to blow. You walk around the tombstones. You see the clouds, the moon, the tombstones, and you. All of a sudden, a black cat jumps out in front of you. Noticed your heart stopped beating. You step back on the stick and it cracked and your heart started beating again. One preacher said, that's not my heart, that's my feet getting out of that graveyard. But let's imagine this graveyard image in our mind as we're walking all alone through the graveyard. Picture in your mind the clouds, the moon, the tombstones, and you. If we were watching a Dracula picture on television, the music they would use would be somewhat like this music, because it paints the image, the picture, the thought, the idea, the mood, the feeling. Music paints pictures. How many of you have ever been to a real live circus before? Would you hold your hand in the air? Actually been to a real live circus? You see, in order to change the picture, all I need to do is change the music. Let's imagine the circus atmosphere that we once attended. You ever watch people at a circus? They're always smiling, you know. I never forget when I took my boys in San Francisco to the circus. They sat there, Daddy, Daddy, look, there goes a guy riding a unicycle. Everybody's happy. Daddy, look, there goes an elephant riding a unicycle. Now, that didn't happen. But the circus music changes our image, changes our picture in our mind. It's halftime right now at a football game. Picture the marching band. Beautiful uniforms. Marching in perfect formation up and down the field. Perhaps you think of a parade. A marching band, a float, another marching band, and the whole parade passes by us. Years ago, there was a movie called Sleeping Beauty. There was a ballroom setting. Picture the ballroom. Picture the chandeliers hanging from the ceiling, glistening in the light. Picture the beautiful, white, shiny floor. Picture the columns reaching from the floor to the ceiling. Picture the participants waltzing on the floor. What I've done thus far is I have purposefully programmed you. You see, it's the fact that we're just sitting in this room and music is playing. Images and thoughts have entered our mind because I have spoken the image and I've matched it musically. But I do not need to do this, because this is that which we've done all our life. As we have listened to music, it has left in our mind, etched there, some image, some picture, some thought, some idea. All I need to do is to reach into one's mind, pull out music they've listened to, play it, and I can cause the pictures to immediately come rushing back, because the mind will not remain idle when music is played. So all I'm going to do right now is just play the music. And when you have a picture, hold your hand in the air. Most people will have a picture within 1 second. Music paints pictures. So when you have a picture, hold your hand in the air. Doesn't take very long to have a picture. Now, it's interesting the pictures people have according to their age. At the count of three, tell me the picture that's in your mind. One, two, three. Okay, that's the dominant one here because of your age. But I've had small children. Dudley Do-Right. I guess they use it cartoons. But the one I like is to be in church. And adults raise their hand. Horse races! But at least they had a picture. You see, as soon as that music plays, the music that we had been programmed with years ago, the image, the picture comes back to our mind. Music paints pictures, and it doesn't matter how long it's been. For I will say that many of you had not heard that or said that in a very long time. Now, why is this important? Well, as a man thinketh, if a person is listening to godly music, what an advantage. That means they're godly pictures, godly images, godly thoughts, godly ideas that are entering the mind. And as a man thinketh, those are the things that can come from his life. But if a person is listening to that which is ungodly, that means they're ungodly images, ungodly pictures, ungodly thoughts, ungodly ideas being fed to the mind. And as a man thinketh, those are the things that unfortunately can come out of a man's life, even as a child of God. Now, as I mentioned, this message is not about music. And I make that statement often while I'm preaching to young people. But let me guide your thinking just for a moment. The most listened to music on the planet is rock music in its 32 different styles. I could care less about the style. What are the pictures? When I went to Billboard magazine, the 70s, 80s, 90s, and into this century, I discovered that 60% of the songs that are hitting the Hot 100 deal with the subject of sex or immorality in one facet or another. What are the pictures? The images, the thoughts, the ideas, the moods, the feelings that are being painted in the mind. It's a picture diametrically opposed to the principles of purity for the Christian in the having of a godly mind. One might like the music, but he's feeding his mind ungodliness. As a man thinketh. Why is it even among God's people this seems to appear in lives over and over and over again? It's because our minds are being fed that information over and over. Now, wait a minute. This is not a message about rock music. Because there was a day rock music didn't even exist. Let me ask you a question. If a person didn't listen to music, could they have an ungodly mind? Interesting. Dave, let's do something else. Come help me again. We're going to represent a husband and a wife. I'm the husband. He's the wife. I talk about rock music when I'm sitting there. Mom and Dad, oh boy, our kids need this. So go, preacher, go. Help me out. Go.
Go, go,
yeah,
go.
A little bit higher. Go.
Go,
yeah.
Go.
My wife has a cold. Our kids need to hear this, don't they? Yeah. But then I say, wait a minute. Rock music's not the issue. Let me talk about country music for a second. You hear him. He's trying to say there's some bad things in country music. That guy's an idiot. What do you think?
He's an idiot.
Thank you. You can have a seat. Appreciate that. If I'd not illustrated this in this fashion, there's something you'd miss. Everybody knows that the sound of rock is different than the sound of country. But check the pictures.
Yeah.
They are exactly the same. You know, country music uses this ploy. A lot of times it uses humorous lines. One, my wife ran off with my best friend, and I miss him. But think through what we just laughed at. That happens in country music all the time. They use humorous lines that have ungodly images and pictures and thoughts behind them. But I checked in Billboard magazine, the Hot 100 are also counted in the country chart. 65% of the songs dealt with the subject of sex and immorality. Watch this carefully. Rock music never deals with adultery. Rock music never deals with divorce. Country music deals with it all the time. The images, the pictures, the thoughts, the ideas. As a man thinketh. But wait a minute. Has nothing to do with music. If a person never listened to music, that person could still have an ungodly mind. There was a day music didn't exist in the forms we have it today. There was a day you couldn't buy recordings and listen to music. If a person watches television, he can feed his mind exactly the same thing that's being fed through rock music or country music. The only difference is it goes in the eye gate, not the ear gate. So every image that's in the music that we might say, oh, I want our kids to listen to, every image that's there is right on the screen, in a movie or on television. Does it matter how it gets in the mind? If it's in the mind, it's in the mind, and as a man thinketh. And there were days before television. I'm trying to see if there's anybody who remembers those days. There were days before television. Days before recordings, days before we could listen to music on CD or tape, or that's always interesting, isn't it? Young people think they're smart because they know what MP3s are. We know what 78s are. We know what 45, 33. We know what reel-to-reel, 8-track, 4-track. We know it all. But if a person didn't have any of this medium, could they still have an ungodly mind?
Yeah.
All you got to do is pick up a book, a magazine. You can actually, in any book or magazine that's worldly, you can feed the same thing to your mind that you would have gotten there through music or through television. And so we could read something that is ungodly, look at ungodly images, look at ungodly pictures, and feed our mind all kinds of ungodliness. But wait a minute, there were days before printing presses. Wow. There were days before recordings. There were days before movies and television. Could people who live in days gone by, Bible days, could they have ungodly minds? Yes. How? You can get an ungodly mind by just hanging around the wrong people.
Yeah.
Most people would never know what a curse word was had they not heard it from the people they were around. It's none of these things. As much as it's the whole of all of them. Everything I listen to, everything I read, everything I watch, everybody I'm around, my mind is collecting information. It goes in the eye gate, it goes in the ear gate, and it's making me what I am. As a man thinketh, it's making me what I'm becoming. As a man thinketh, music is one way. Music paints pictures. Say it with me. Music paints pictures. Number two, music holds pictures. Say that with me. Music holds pictures. What I mean by that is this. When a song is playing, I'm captivated by the image, the picture, the thought, and the idea. And as long as the music is playing, I can't get away from it. The music holds the picture in my mind. Music paints the picture, and music holds the picture in my mind. To illustrate, I'm going back to the graveyard. I have fun with this one. Everything is as it was before. You still have a heart. The wind, the tombstones, and you. You're all alone walking through the tombstones. Waiting for the cat, aren't you? He's not there. Instead, something most unusual takes place. Somewhere close to where you're standing, a casket just opened. And someone's yawning. Notice your heart hasn't beat for 15 minutes. You look around and see from whence cometh the noise, and all of a sudden you find yourself face to face with Dracula. You scream for help, but there's no voice. You scream louder, and still there's no voice. And finally you scream with all of your might, and you get this little squeaky help out as you scream. And help hears and comes to save you. Oh boy! Help is on the way! Hey! How many of you are still thinking about Dracula? If you are, Dracula would say, oh no, I gotta go. And there goes Dracula on his horse, riding off into the moonset. Or maybe you're thinking about horse races. There goes Dracula around turn number three, heading for turn number four, and Dracula's ahead by a nose. You see, interestingly enough, this did not hold Dracula in our mind because it did not even paint it there. Music paints its own picture. You may not be convinced. So we're going to the ballroom, the Cinderella ball. How many of you ladies remember reading about Cinderella growing up? Hold your hands in the air. How many of you men remember reading about Cinderella? Dave, hold your hand in the air. Do you remember what happened when Cinderella walked in the room? The music stopped. Everybody saw her and said, wow. The king's son saw her and said, wow. He walked up to her standing face to face. He said, wow. He was so moved, he said it backwards. Wow. Then he stood on his head. Mom! It takes longer. Finally, he got up enough nerve to speak, and he said, Cindy, could I have this next waltz with you? And she said, why, yes. And they started waltzing together. Cindy, go! See Cindy go! Wow! Cindy, why are you swinging from the chandeliers? Everybody's turning somersaults and flips. With music like this, do you understand why Cinderella lost her glass slipper? But you see, that did not hold Cinderella in our mind because it did not even paint Cinderella in our mind. Here we are right now. We're at a football game. Say with me out loud three times, marching band. Number one, marching band. Number two, marching band. Number three, marching band. Hold on to that. Don't let anything take that image out of your mind. Marching band. Marching band. Marching band. Marching band. many of you have another picture in your head? Would you? What's the picture in your mind? I said, hang on to the marching band. But you see, you cannot help it. And you're going to think about the Pink Panther until this dumb thing stops. Because music paints the picture and music holds the picture in your mind. We come to the end of the program and the Lone Ranger rides off into the sunset. Hi-yo, Silver! Away. Que Mosabi. Let's prance to the left. There goes Scout and Silver holding hoofs. As they ride off into the sunset. Who knows well what I'm trying to show you today? The television and movie industry.
Oh, yeah.
They produce soundtracks for television and movies. If the music doesn't fit, you'll sit there and laugh your head off. Because the image, the picture, the mood is all established by the music that is being played as well. Music paints that image and that picture, that thought, that idea. And while it's playing, we become captivated by it. Why is it important? Because as a man thinketh, whatever captivates us determines how we live.
Wow. Yeah.
And the Bible talks about bringing into captivity the Lord Jesus Christ. If a person's mind is captive with things that are godly, as a man thinketh, he can live a godly life. But if my mind is captivated by that which is ungodly, even as a child of God, I can live an ungodly life because as a man thinketh, captivated. And if there's anything that is captivated or captivating for young people, it's the music to which they listen. Hours upon hours upon hours, the mind is being fed information and it's being captivated there. But there's a third point, and probably the most awesome to consider. Number one, music paints pictures. Say it. Music paints pictures. Music holds pictures. Say that. Music holds pictures. But number three, the picture is there for life. And that's an amazing thing to consider. The picture is there for life. I'm going to play a tune. I want you to tell me the picture that comes to your mind. I'm going back to 1972. For this was used in 1972 and 1973 on television. For a 2-year period, it was used on a commercial. I want you to tell me the product being advertised. You say, how in the world am I going to remember something 35, 40 years ago? I can't even remember where I put my glasses this morning. If this went into the mind 35 years ago, guess where it's at today? It's in the mind. And I will be able to get it out. If this did not go into the mind 35 years ago, it's not there. And I will not be able to get it out. I thought of that by myself. But by the way, that was a very important point. If it didn't go in, it's not there.
Amen.
Think about that. So, I'm going to play this. You're too young to remember. But they're not. So when you have the product being advertised, now it was a movie thing. You might be able to tell me the movie. I don't want to know that. Kind of like a television serial that ran for a while. Don't want to know that. I want to know the product being advertised in 1972 and in 1973. What product is being advertised? When you know, hold your hand in the air. God bless you. Yeah. Don't be ashamed to hold your hands in the air. Okay. All right. 5 seconds is long enough. What product is being advertised? Here we are, Quinton Road Baptist Church. Here we are, spiritual leaders from all over the place. And what do we have our minds on right now? Cigarettes. I said nothing about cigarettes. I played 5 seconds of a song that you haven't heard since 1973. Pops into your brain. You can take it off television. Matter of fact, it was taken off television. Do you know cigarette advertisements have not been on television since 1973? You can take it off television, but you cannot take it out of your brain. For when the music goes in, it paints the image, the picture, the thought, the idea. It's captivated there, and it can stay there for a lifetime. Oh, we don't think about it all the time, but all you need is that stimulus, and that stimulus can bring it right back to mind. Many times I can get in the car, no matter what city, turn on the radio, maybe find an easy listening, beautifully orchestrated music station. And all they're playing is all the old rock songs I learned as a teenager. I can ride down the road. I can start singing right along with them. And sometimes when I stop myself, whoa, that's not too godly. Many times I can tell you where I was, who I was with, and what I was doing when I heard the songs, because all the images, pictures, thoughts, and ideas, they're all there. They do not go away. Who knows what I'm talking about right now? The advertising agency. That's why they use jingles.
Right.
You hear a jingle, all of a sudden the product pops into your brain. Oh, I wish I were an Oscar Mayer wiener. No, you don't. I could go on and on. Sometimes in years past, when I had a pianist with me, we would play different things and just have people think Coke. All the advertisement come back to mind just like that. We could play three notes. Dun, dun, dun. And people would say NBC. It's amazing how our mind is connected musically to images, pictures, thoughts, ideas, moods, feelings. Why is it all important? Because as a man thinketh, what does the Bible say about the mind? Every verse that I'm going to quote right now is written to the child of God, and every verse is familiar to all of us. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, present your body as a living sacrifice to the Lord in verse 1. But what does verse 2 say? Present your mind. Watch it carefully. And be not conformed to the world. Well, if I'm conformed to the world, that means I'm doing worldly things. I'm doing what the world does. What preceded that? I must be thinking that way, because as a man thinketh, so is he. And so in that same verse, it gives us the solution. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye, say it with me, transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, change the way you think and you change the way you live. How can I change the way I think? By changing what I'm feeding my mind, because I'm apt to think about the things that I'm concurrently feeding my mind. And so as I'm renewing my mind, I'm now thinking different things. Perhaps the most powerful verse regarding the mind is found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, 23, and 24. Verse 22 says, put off the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Put off the old man, speaking to God's people. Well, suppose I come to the place where I say, you know, things that I have in my life, they're just not good. The things that I watch, they're ungodly. I'm going to put them off. Things that I listen to musically, they're ungodly. I'm going to put them off. Things that I read, they're ungodly. I'm going to put these things off. Put off the old man. That's a good decision, but it will not make anyone a better Christian. Because it's not what you put off that changes you. It's what you put on. Continue. And be not conformed, and put off the old man, which is corrupt to the deceitful lust. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. It's the new man that I put on that changes me. As I listen to godly music, it changes me. As I read godly material, it changes me. As I hang around godly people, it changes me. As I feed my mind godliness, it changes me. And as a man thinketh, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true and just and pure and honest and lovely, if there be any praise, if there be any virtue, what's the next word?
Think
on these things. Why do I want to think on all those things? Because as a man thinketh, so is he. throughout the Bible, the emphasis on the mind for the child of God, because that's the issue. So you see what I mean by this message is really not about music. It really is about the mind. And when we're dealing with young people or anybody, it's the most important commodity we have. It's our mind. And if our minds can go in the direction God would intend them, we can live godly life. Remember Eutychus in the Bible? We don't know a lot about him, do we? Eutychus was sitting up in the third loft, and Paul was preaching. Paul had started at sundown and was still preaching at midnight. Woo-hoo. Long message. What we know about Eutychus was he went to sleep and fell out of the window. And it killed him. There's a lesson. Yeah. Go to sleep in church, you could wake up dead. Now, let me ask you a question. Why did he fall out of the window? He went to sleep. You just told us. No, that's not why he fell out. Granted, he went to sleep. Couldn't he have fallen in? Oh, and just hit his head and embarrassed himself? Did he have to fall out? Or if he's sitting in the window sideways, he goes to sleep, and he falls out. Couldn't he have fallen in? Everybody just laughed at him. Why then did he fall out? This is very deep. He fell out because he was hanging out. I'm serious. If he'd been leaning in, he would have fell in. But when he went to sleep, he was leaning out. So he fell out. Why do people get away from God? More leaning toward the things of the world than toward the things of God. The mind is becoming saturated with things that are ungodly rather than things that are godly. Whichever way you're leaning, that's the way you're going to fall. And we are living in a day and time where the people we're trying to reach are being saturated with ungodliness. We may have them in a Christian school for a period of time. We may have them in a church for a period of time. But we do not have them near as long as this world has them.
Oh, wow. Yes.
The minds are being saturated, and I believe that's why in churches all over the world, Christian people are living ungodly lives. Because as a man thinketh, so is he. Music paints pictures. That's Music Paints Pictures. In that series of messages, there are 7 different messages that are fun messages. But you see the philosophy behind it. It's something enjoyable to listen to, but you can't miss the point. It's at this point I'm going to go into another direction. You see Music Paints Pictures and the purpose behind it. If you have a Bible, I want you to see something in the Bible. When I first started speaking on the subject of music and entertainment, I did something because I was not a musician. I laid the scriptures in front of me and I went through the entire Bible looking for the verses in God's word that dealt with music. There are 756 direct references to music in the Bible. If you take the Psalms into consideration, the songs of Deborah, Barak, and Moses, there are 2,700 verses in the Bible that relate to music. It's a subject that God has spent a lot of time talking about in the Bible. So when I laid these things out, I wanted to discover what are the principles that I can see through all of these verses that I've laid out musically in the Bible. The best way that I can show you is from one passage in Ephesians chapter 5, if you'll turn there. It's an amazing passage of scripture that deals with music, but yet it teaches us what godly music should be. In Ephesians chapter 5. Now, notice as the chapter begins, it begins with an important statement that is a foundation. Be ye therefore followers of God. So this whole passage is going to talk about following the Lord, doing what he likes. Well, go down in that same passage. Let's go down, if you will. Let's see. Let's go to verse number 10. Let me show you what I call preliminary principles here. In verse 10, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. That's an interesting principle. If I'm going to make selections about things I listen to or things I read or things I watch, that's an important principle. Prove what's acceptable to the Lord. Now, do people really do that? Before they buy recordings, do they ask, is this something that God would approve of? Chances are, no. Usually I buy what I like because it's what I like. I've often said people do what people do because of what people want to do, regardless of what the Bible has to say. But the Bible says, proving what's acceptable to the Lord. Then look at the next verse, verse 11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So I often ask people, when you think of worldly music, no matter what style it might be, no matter what kind it might be, what we find there is an unfruitful work. It's not something that will draw me closer to Christ, but it's an unfruitful work of darkness. It's something that should be reproved, not something that should be accepted. Important principle. Go down to verse number 14. Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. In other words, speaking about being discerning, choosing what is good. Be awake to that which is ungodly. Be awake to that which is godly to make the right choice. Verse 15 ties right in. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. What does that mean, circumspectly? Suppose I were to take glass and I would break glass all over this area here. And I were to say, Dave, how about just walking across one side to the other with all the broken glass? And he comes up here and he just does this right here. Well, that's not walking circumspectly. If I were to walk circumspectly, I would look, I would plan, I would take my steps carefully. I would plan every move, I'd plan every step. I would try to make sure that I'm not getting involved in things that are ungodly, walking circumspectly, choosing that which is good. Then go another step. In verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Make every second, every minute, every day count for the Lord Jesus Christ. Choose the best of the best. Wherefore, he saith, verse 17, be not unwise, but understanding. And here we start, what the will of the Lord is. In all of these things, remember this, be ye therefore followers of God. And so we want to be wise, understanding what the will of the Lord is. Then we move right into music. Watch it carefully. What is the will of the Lord? Begin with verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Don't stop. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing melody, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Don't stop. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't stop. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. It's one sentence. In that one sentence, there are four very important principles of godly music. And that one sentence needs to stay together in order to make the most sense. Now go back to verse number 18. Be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Let's just talk about that for a moment. Being filled with the Spirit of God. I grew up on a farm. We used to slop pigs. And what I mean by that, we'd stop by the restaurant and they would have everything that was left over in the restaurant, all the food, all the alcohol, left over in the beer cans, all poured in there, and you take it and you feed it to your hogs. There's nothing funnier than a drunk hog. I have seen hogs fall on the ground and try to get up and can't. They just wallow on the ground. What happened? That hog is under the influence of something else. Unfortunately, before my dad got saved, he had the habit of drinking. My dad was in construction. I worked with him on the way home. We would stop at these places and I saw people that were drunk all the time. I'll never forget when one of my cousins was out at a restaurant. He had had his teeth pulled that day. He was eating a steak. It was hurting him. He threw the steak on the floor and started barking at it. They kicked him out of the restaurant. He was under the control of something within. The Bible says, don't let that be the case. Don't be drunk with wine, where is an excess. Don't be controlled with wine, where is an excess. But do be controlled by the Spirit of God.
Yes.
And it's interesting that we go right into music that's controlled by the Spirit of God. I wonder what music would really please God. What he's in control of. Follow the thinking very carefully. Whatever God's Spirit is in control of, he's going to be pleased with it. So the Bible speaks of being controlled by the Spirit of God, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart. And here's the most important principle of music in the entire Bible. To the Lord. I challenge you to lay out all the verses of music in the entire Bible and notice that the movement is upward. The movement is upward to the Lord. In one Bible that I have, beside every psalm, I have an arrow that points straight up. Because the songbook, the psalms, all the psalms point directly to the Lord. Read them. They're all directly to the Lord. That's the reason I like some of the songs that Brother Doug sung this morning, because they were directed as a conversation to the Lord, singing to the Lord. When you find the word sing, when you find the word song throughout the Bible, notice it's to the Lord. The songs of Deborah and Barak were to the Lord. There were songs in the Bible praying to God to give them victory in the Bible. There were songs after victory came, they were singing to the Lord, thanking him for the victories that they had given. The most dominant theme throughout the Bible is that the music is to the Lord, an audience of one. Most of our music today is outward to man rather than to the Lord. I'll never forget, I was at Fifth Avenue Baptist Church a number of years ago, and there was a lady there with cerebral palsy. And I asked her, what's your favorite song? How great thou art. Oh, wonderful. You and I are going to sing it tomorrow night. No, yes, we are. And we did. The next night, I brought her up on the platform, and we sang How Great Thou Art. I sang, Oh, Lord, my God, when I am awesome. She sang, Oh, Lord, my God, when I am awesome. There wasn't a dry eye in the place when we finished. But I want you to know something. God liked her song just as much as he liked mine.
Yeah.
We put such an emphasis on the quality that we miss the most important thing. Some of the best singing that you'll ever do is when you're in the shower. Don't tell my husband that. You don't know what he sounds like. If we're singing to the Lord, I'll tell you there's one person who will like it, and that's the Lord. He wants to hear our songs. And I point this out as a principle. Since that is seen literally hundreds of times in the Bible, when you put all the verses out, check them, 756 direct references, hundreds of those times, the music is to the Lord. That's the reason I tell people, if you want to find something that's good, in every church service, sing some songs to the Lord.
Amen.
Not all the songs in our hymnal are upward, not all of them are, nor do they have to be. But I say, since that's a dominant principle in the Bible, let's make much of it as well.
Yes.
To the Lord. But then we read on. Singing melody heart to the Lord, giving thanks for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the second most dominant principle of music throughout the Bible. Thanksgiving and praise to God. But that's only logical, isn't it? If it's to the Lord, what are you going to sing about? If it's to the Lord, it's going to be praise and thanksgiving for what he's done. And throughout the scriptures, you'll find that that's what the songs are about. Giving praise and thanksgiving to God for victories he has given. Our prayer for the victories. It's thanksgiving to God. So we find there the movement of our song. We find the message of our song. Then notice, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. The manner in which songs are done. Fear of God. Why is it Christian music today is in every style you can imagine? There's punk Christian music. There's hard rock Christian music. There's rap Christian music. Why is it in every style? It used to be, I'm going to go back, give you a little history lesson here. Most people say that rock started in 1955, 1956. It wasn't till 1967 when rock entered the church. And some of you might remember, It was in a musical, Tell It Like It Is. And when that rock musical, which was used in liberal churches, when that rock musical made it into the door of the church in 1967, there had been a 12-year waiting period from the time rock started in the secular world till rock entered the door of the church. A 12-year waiting period. There is no longer a waiting period. Whatever is created in the world today is created in the church simultaneously. Have you ever thought why? It's because our music is not to the Lord. Our music's for people. The reason we use rap is because people like it. The reason we use punk is because people like it. The reason we use hard rock is because people like it. We're giving the people what they want. But notice this verse, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of the Lord. We fear people more than we fear God. If I don't produce this style, the people are not going to buy it. If I don't produce this style, the people are not going to listen to it. If I don't produce this style, the people are not going to come here. And so we're more interested in what the people want rather than what God wants. And then there's one final. You'll find it over in Colossians. Colossians chapter number 3 and verse number 15. And this is also interesting. Brother Duffett made reference a little bit this morning. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Let me stop right there. Brother Steve, I thought you said the movement was upward. Right now you're using music to teach wisdom, teach and admonish. Doesn't that seem to be outward? Finish the verse. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart.
Yes.
Did you finish it?
Yeah.
To the Lord. You see, while I'm singing to the Lord, I'm admonishing, I'm teaching. While I'm singing to the Lord. So it's always upward. But what I get from this verse is that it needs to be true to the scriptures. Not all of our hymns are true to the scriptures. Nothing wrong with changing them, changing the words. Years ago, Frank Garlock wrote a letter to Bill Gaither correcting one of his songs. Bill Gaither wrote him back. He says, we cannot change the wording of our songs, for that would be tampering with the Holy Spirit who inspired them. Now, I like a lot of Gaither songs. I've had a 3-hour conversation just in this last year, personally, with Bill Gaither. I like a lot of his songs. I admire how he's taken care of a lot of the older singers. And you may not know this, but he pretty well takes care of them single-handedly. The money that comes in from all those, what are those videos called?
Homecoming
videos. All that money goes to take care of all of those old singers that you see. Single-handedly, he takes care of them. He's built houses for people out of that money. He says, I didn't need the money, but these people need help. I appreciate what he's done, but he's wrong on that statement. If I have a song that doesn't match the scripture, I better change the song, not the scripture. So when it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, we use those songs to accurately teach the Word of God. And unfortunately, a lot of our new music today, if people would actually compare it to the Scriptures, they're wrong. Just totally wrong. And so if you want to know what God likes, stick with God's Word and He'll tell you what He likes. And why is it important? Because as a man thinketh, and we want to teach the truth so that they know the truth.
Yeah.
All right. I am supposed to end so that you can ask questions if you have questions. And we've got about 10 minutes or so for questions. Anybody have any question? If I don't know the answer, Brother Duffett does. But any questions regarding why I do what I do or what approach I take or anything like that? If you have a question, I'd be glad to entertain it. My favorite song? Whoa. I've never even thought about it. I have so many favorite songs. I have no idea what I would say is my favorite.
If you talk to teens today, what's the biggest area of resistance to the message that you preach when you're preaching music?
You know, it's interesting to me. In all the years, I've never had resistance to Music Paints Pictures. I've never had resistance. Now, as I go through the rest of the series, I basically am tightening the screws a little bit as I go. Because I always start, when I'm speaking on music, I always start with a fun message. Then the messages that follow up, the Song of Fools. The Bible says it's better to hear the rebuke of the wise than it is for a man to hear the song of fools. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 5. Well, the Song of Fools, the difference between a fool and a wise man is one who's close to God. A fool is one who's away from God. Has nothing to do with one being saved or one being lost. For a saved man can be away from God and live as a fool.
Yes.
Or a saved man can live close to God and be wise. So the Bible says it's better, to my benefit, it's better if I do not fall under the influence of the fool. And so I might at that time, and here's something I never do. I never name groups. The reason I never name groups is because sometimes I will listen to someone who preaches on the subject of music and the groups they name are no longer current. So a young person says this message doesn't apply to me because groups are always changing. I very seldom ever mention the name of a song because songs are always changing. But principles never change. So I talk about that which is ungodly. No matter what style you're listening to, you tell me if it's godly. You tell me if it's ungodly. I make them answer the questions. Now, is this group you're listening to, are they followers of Jesus Christ? The answer to most all of them is no. None of them, of the Rock or many of the country, none of them follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So they're listening to someone who's apart from God. They're listening to someone who is a fool rather than listening to someone who's wise. But see, I'm dealing with a principle and never actually naming the group because I want you to know something. They know the groups better than you do. They know the songs better than you do. And sometimes I'll hear somebody say something about a song and attach it to a person and it's the wrong song, wrong person. And the young person says they don't know what they're talking about. And so I never go that route. So each message tightens the screws a little bit tighter. And I think if you come in with a hard message to start with, walls built, nobody listens to you. And that's the reason I don't come in as a hammer. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord.
Amen.
And I reason with them.
Amen. What about the tempo? Sometimes people slow the tempo down.
Let me tell you some things. Years ago, I had conversations with Dr. Garlock before I went on the road. This wouldn't be back in 1974. There were things that I was trying to wrap my head around. And over the years, of course, I've given thought to these things over and over again. Some of the things that came up in those early days, I think, were misconceptions. Let me give two. One of the early issues, and some of you may remember this, was the use of a microphone.
Yeah.
Use of a microphone which should never be held, but on a stand. And the thing that was talked about is that you could make the microphone sensual. So in my thinking process, it was not the microphone, it was the misuse of the microphone. And it didn't matter whether it was here or whether it was here or whether it was on a stand or whether it was being held. It's the misuse, not the use. The same thing is true with instrumentation. When you read through the scriptures, every instrument that you can think of was used in the temple. The sackbut, bass instruments, percussion instruments, all the instruments were used in the temple. Now, we went through a period of time where people said you should never, ever, 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 ever use drums. There should never be a beat like that ever. It's not the instrument. It's the misuse of the instrument. I could misuse any of the instruments. Nor do I think it's tempo. Could tempo be misused? Yes, it could. So it's not any of those things that are the issue. It's the misuse of all of those things that are the issue. I believe one day when we get to heaven, I believe we're going to be blown away. I believe we'll be blown away with the glorious, glorious music that uses every instrumentation you can imagine, glorifying God. But anything can be misused. Another concept that comes up sometimes, people talk about, well, it's amoral. Heard that argument before?
Yeah.
It was an argument often used because people say, well, you know, music's amoral. It's neither good nor bad. Well, think that one through. Two illustrations I could use. Wagner. Wagner wrote his music by his own testimony in defiance of God. But somebody could say, as you're listening to classical music, as you're listening to Wagner, everything is purposefully placed and beautifully done. Well, I have to live according to my knowledge. And if I know that I'm listening to something that was purposefully written to defy God, then I could not call that godly music, or I could not call that good music. I'd have to call that bad. Even though we might say, well, this is classical music, it's got to be good. I don't have to call it good because of my knowledge. But suppose I were to give somebody a piece of music on a piece of paper. Granted, we have black notes on a sheet of paper. I will concede that that piece of paper could be amoral. I could concede that the notes on that piece of paper could be amoral. But if I set that piece of music on a piano and have a person who is godly sit down, and let me use something extraordinary. I don't even know if it's the name of a song, but imagine a stripper or something like that. The godly person could play that music. When he plays that music, and it's perceived by someone else, it's not perceived as godly because a godly person is playing it. It takes on its own power because music has its own power, no matter if a godly person is playing it. So music is not amoral. Back in the 80s, Paul Baker out of Birmingham, Alabama, put together the Sounds Like chart. The Sounds Like chart. And he had the groups of every rock group you could imagine on one side of the page, and on the other side of the page, he had the Christian group that sounded like them. In other words, if you were moving from rock and you had become a child of God, whatever style of music you liked, it is available in the Christian marketplace in the 80s. If you liked AC/DC, right across the line was a Christian group that sounded just like them. Interesting passage of scripture in the Bible talks about sound. If a person blows a trumpet and gives an uncertain sound, who will prepare himself for battle? The sounds in Christian music are not certain sounds anymore. But let me end with this, because we have to end at some point. Let me end with this. Here's something to ponder. When did most people develop their taste for music? Before they became a Christian or after?
Before.
And hence the problem. Most of us developed our taste before we became Christians. Nothing should be based upon taste. Because if I base it upon taste, I'm apt to choose what is wrong over what is right all the time. It must be based upon godly principle. And I told people, I'll never forget when somebody came and preached about rock music. Piggott, you listen to rock music? Yeah. Kick it out. Get rid of it. Huh? How do you get rid of something you love? The day I quit listening to rock music, I did not hate it. Don't miss this. If I hear a song today that I loved years ago, I don't go, yuck! I go, oh yeah. Oh, yeah, remember that. My tastes have not changed. I have the same flesh I had then. What I liked then, I can like very much now. But it's a matter of making a choice to choose what is godly so I can have a godly mind and thus a godly life. It's all a matter of making godly choices.